Hi, my name is Trevor Sullivan, a Microsoft MVP for Cloud and Data Center Management, and I'm also a member of the Docker Captains program. I'm the founder of Art of Shell, which is a consultancy around cloud and data center management automation and architecture. Feel free to visit us online at artofshell.com. Now we're going to check out our main topic of the day here, which is running PowerShell on Linux. But even more importantly than just running PowerShell on Linux, we're actually going to run PowerShell inside of what's called a Docker container on top of a Linux VM that's going to act as a Docker host. A Docker host is simply a Linux virtual machine that is host to containers running under the Docker engine. So right here in front of me, I'm currently connected to an Azure virtual machine, and you can see that I'm running PowerShell natively on Linux, but I'm running this PowerShell instance inside of a Docker container. So this probably blows up all sorts of questions in your mind, such as, you know, why is PowerShell running on Linux? How do I get PowerShell into a Docker container? And, you know, how do I take that container and port it around to all of my different systems, right? So we're going to go through and investigate the process of setting up a Linux Docker host on Microsoft Azure, and then we're going to build a custom PowerShell image for Docker that allows us to run PowerShell Docker containers on Linux. Pretty cool, right? Okay, so let's jump in. The first thing that we want to do is provision a Microsoft Azure virtual machine running the Linux operating system. If you go out to the Microsoft Azure Quick Start Templates repository on GitHub, there's actually a really useful template out there called the VM Simple Linux, and you can just go out and search for that, and you can come down here and simply click on the Deploy to Azure button. This will take you over to the Microsoft Azure portal, where you'll be prompted for a few different input parameters to uniquely name your virtual machine and provide it some other parameters like a password to SSH into it. Once you've created this Linux VM on Microsoft Azure, the next thing we need to do is install the Docker engine. The Docker engine is what gives us access to deploy Docker containers onto our Linux virtual machine. So we're actually going to do that now because I've already provisioned a Linux VM here called Docker, and we're going to go ahead and connect to that and deploy the Docker engine onto it. So I have a resource group here called Docker PowerShell, and this contains all of the resources pertaining to this Linux virtual machine that we're going to use for this deployment demonstration. So I'm going to click on the virtual machine itself, or rather let's click on its public IP address resource here, and the public IP address is going to show us how to connect to that virtual machine over SSH. So we're going to go ahead and just grab the DNS name here, which is trevordocker.eastus2.cloudapp.azure.com, and we're going to fire up our trusty PuTTY utility, and we're going to go ahead and connect out to that virtual machine. Let's go ahead and change a couple of settings here. First, we're going to change our login username, and next, we're just going to change our window appearance so that we have a larger font for the sake of this video. So we're just going to up the font to 16 size, and we're going to open a connection and connect to this brand new virtual machine that was just created. In fact, I haven't even logged into it before. So I'm going to go ahead and type my password and get logged into our new Ubuntu 16 LTS virtual machine. So now what we need to do is provision the Docker engine onto this virtual machine. And this is a very easy process to do, right? This is a vanilla Linux VM. And so all we need to do to install the Docker engine is to go over to the Docker project on GitHub, which is github.com/docker/docker. And then we're going to go to the releases page. And that link is a little bit hidden right here if you're not looking for it, but there's currently 161 releases of Docker. So we're going to scroll down to the bottom of this first release here, and we're just going to go ahead and run this command here, which is going to download a script and install Docker locally. So this process is fairly quick. It should just take a minute or two to finish up, and then we'll come back and actually build a PowerShell Docker image on our Docker host. Great. So as you can see, in real time, that actually was a very quick process to install the Docker engine. In fact, it even ran the Docker version command to demonstrate the client and server versions that we currently have installed on this particular system. We're going to go ahead and just do this user mod command here, and that's going to enable us to interact with the Docker engine using the Docker CLI without having to run the sudo command all the time. Now, in order for that command to take effect, I'm going to need to create a new login shell. So what I'm going to do is simply right-click on my PuTTY session and duplicate the session. I'll just go ahead and log in here and close the old session. And now you can see I've got this new session, and if I just run the groups command, sure enough, you can see that we are a member of this Docker group. And as a validation, let's just do Docker version. That'll go connect to the Docker daemon that's running locally on that virtual machine, and it's going to print out the server version, which confirms that we do have connectivity from the Docker CLI. Great. So now we get to the really fun and interesting part. So now that we've got this Docker engine running inside of our Linux VM, we can now create a PowerShell container image. Because we just installed this Docker host for the first time, we don't have any images in our local cache, and we can confirm that by running the Docker images command. So now what we want to do is create this PowerShell image that sits on top of .NET Core. So what I've done here is created a file called a Docker file, and the Docker file is basically just an automated build process that's going to generate a custom image for us. So what we're doing here at the very top is using the from statement to basically say, I want to start with the Ubuntu Xenial, which is 16 LTS, Linux virtual machine image that's in the Docker hub. From there, I want to set the maintainer metadata to my own name and email address. And then we're going to do what's called a run command. And a run command is simply going to shell out and execute a shell command on that image, right? That base image. So what we're doing essentially here, we're not going to go through this step by step, but we're basically installing the .NET Core framework, which runs cross-platform on Mac, Linux, and Windows. Once we install the .NET Core runtime, we can then install the PowerShell components. So what we're going to do is actually create this PowerShell directory in the root of the file system. We're going to set our working directory to that PowerShell folder, and then we're going to basically download the PowerShell package locally. Now, because this URL here is not public yet on GitHub, I'm going to go ahead and just put it onto a private repository on Dropbox where my virtual machine is able to publicly access the file securely. Then we're going to go ahead and run the commands to actually download that Debian package locally onto our Ubuntu system, our container. And then we're going to install a couple of dependencies. We're going to install the Debian package for PowerShell. And then we're just going to do a couple of quick cleanup commands to help minimize our container image's size, which is a good practice. Finally, we're going to do what's called the entry point. And inside the Docker file, the entry point determines the entry point for every new container that is created off of this base container image. Now, you might notice I'm using this tool here called Visual Studio Code. One of the things I absolutely love about Visual Studio Code is the ability to theme it, the ability to open any folder as a project, and the ability to have extensions. So as you can see here, I've got some syntax highlighting going on and some built-in help helps us to author Docker files. Now, that's actually coming from a special extension that you can install for Docker files. So you can actually just install Visual Studio Code, and then you can go out, search the extension marketplace for Visual Studio Code, and grab this Docker file and Docker Compose file extension. And this will help you to author your Docker files as well as your Docker Compose YAML files. So Visual Studio Code is an incredibly awesome cross-platform tool. It runs on Linux, it runs on Mac, and it also runs on Windows, which is what I've got going on right here. So I strongly encourage you to go out and get Visual Studio Code. Okay, so now that we've got this Docker file, you might be asking, what do we do with this Docker file? Well, what we need to do with this Docker file is put it onto our Linux virtual machine with the Docker engine installed, which again is called the Docker host. And on that Docker host, we're going to run a command that builds an image based on the instructions that are inside of this Docker file. So let's go ahead and switch over to our Docker host here, and we're simply going to use vi and create a Docker file. In fact, we're going to make a directory here called PowerShell Core, because that's the actual product name is PowerShell Core. We're going to go ahead and just CD into that. And then we're going to do VI Dockerfile, okay? And you do need to name the file Dockerfile, just so you know in advance. And we're just going to copy this code here that we have in Visual Studio Code. And then we're just going to right-click in PuTTY to paste that in. So then we'll hit Escape and hit colon WQ to write the file and quit the VI editor. So now if we just do an LS, you can see that we have a Docker file inside our local folder. So what do we do with this Docker file now that we've taken it from our local machine where we're developing it, ported it over to our Linux virtual machine? What do we do with that? Well, what we want to do is run this special command called docker build. So if you just run docker by itself without any parameters, you'll get back this really useful list of subcommands that are supported inside of the Docker CLI. So what we want to do is run this docker build command, and if you run docker build without any parameters, you're going to see that it says, hey, I need you to give me a path. So we're actually going to tack on the dash dash help parameter, because this is how we get the built-in help for this command. And don't be intimidated by these options here, because there are quite a few different options. But what we care about here is that we want to specify the path where our Docker file is located. So of course, we're just going to use a dot because we're currently inside the PowerShell core directory. So we're just going to do docker build dot. Now, to avoid any potential issues, you might also want to tack on this no cache parameter, because this is going to tell the Docker engine, as it's building the Docker file into an image, it's going to tell the Docker engine to ignore any cached image layers that have been built previously. So if you're a developer and you're authoring a Docker file for the first time, or you're making modifications to a Docker file, you'll probably want to tack on this no cache just to avoid any potential issues. Now you might ask, well, can I leave it off? And the answer is yes, you can leave it off. And the design intent there from Docker is that it can use cached image layers to help speed up the production of new images that share the cached layers, right? So, but in this case, we're just gonna add that parameter to make sure that we don't run into any caching problems. So we're gonna do docker build no cache and then a period to indicate the local directory is where our Docker file is located. So as you can see, what's happening now is the Docker engine has received this instruction to build an image, right? So we use the Docker CLI, the client, to instruct the Docker engine to build an image. So basically, the Docker engine is going through the Docker file that we fed into it, into its build context, and it's going through all of these instructions, and it's processing them right now. Now, after it processes all of these different instructions to install .NET Core, to set the working directory to PowerShell, to download and install the PowerShell Core package, it's going to finish up by setting the entry point to PowerShell. So when we run a new container from this particular image, it's simply going to run the PowerShell command, and that's our entry point. Now, you can override the entry point with Docker when you run a new container, so keep that in mind as well, but this is the default entry point if one is not specified by the user of the image. So we're just going to go ahead and switch back over to our Linux Docker host here, and we're going to watch it finish up. So now it's in the final phase here where it's actually downloading the PowerShell core package from my Dropbox account, and it's going to install that along with its dependencies locally in this image. At the very end, it's going to set that entry point. That's going to be step number 10. And once it sets the entry point, it's going to seal up that image, and it's going to store that image inside of our Docker host's image cache. So now that the build process has completed, if we do Docker images, we can see that there is a new image located in here. In fact, there's two new images. If you remember from our Docker file, we specified that we wanted to start with the Ubuntu Xenial base image from the Docker Hub. So the very first thing that the Docker engine had to do when we did the Docker build command is it went out to the Docker Hub, it downloaded the Ubuntu Xenial image, and it stored it in the local image cache so that we could then build on top of it with our custom image. Now, you might notice that we have an image here that doesn't have a name. It has a unique identifier, but it has no friendly name. And what we can actually do here, if we go back and look at the Docker build help, is specify the dash dash tag parameter. So what that's going to do is it's going to tag the image with a particular user-friendly name. So we'll just tag it with PowerShell. We'll tack on the no cache option and then put a period to rebuild the image again. So basically what's going to happen here is it's going to go through all those steps again. It's not going to use any of the cached image layers that we just built, and it's going to go through and build a new image with that, and it's going to tag it PowerShell. So that way the image will be much more recognizable when we enumerate the images that are in the image cache on the Docker host. So let's just wait for a moment here and let this build process finish, and then we'll go and enumerate the images in the image cache, and you'll see that there's now going to be a PowerShell image inside of it. So it's going through right now, it's reinterpreting all of the instructions in the Docker file, just like it did the first time we ran the build, and it's installing all the dependencies for .NET Core, it's installing .NET Core itself, which is actually coming from an apt-get repository, and now it's on step 9 where it's downloading the PowerShell Debian package to the local file system, and then it's going to go ahead and unpack and install that along with its dependencies, and then the last step here is going to be setting the entry point. So as you can see, this image build process is actually very, very quick depending on what you're putting inside of it. Right? So now if we run Docker images, now that our second build is completed, you can see that we have a image in our Docker host's image cache called PowerShell. Right? That's super exciting, because now all we need to do to actually create a container from that particular container image is do Docker run and then specify the dash I parameter, which makes the container interactive, so we can actually type commands into the container and receive the results. And then we're going to do dash T to attach a TTY, a virtual terminal, to that container. And then we're going to do dash dash RM. And this is a cool parameter, because if you're just testing something out really quick and you don't want any stateful data stored with this container on your Docker host, and it, you know, over time they just take up a lot of storage, what this RM parameter is going to do is it's going to delete the container as soon as it stops or is killed. So then we're just going to type the name of the image that we want to run. So we're saying Docker run, make it interactive, attach a virtual terminal so we can interact with that container, remove the container as soon as it's completed using dash dash RM, and then the name of the image itself is PowerShell. Now you can also use the image ID, so we could type actually just 04, and because 04 uniquely identifies the PowerShell image in the local image cache, it would actually run the same container. But in general, I like to work with containers using their more user-friendly names. So let's go ahead and just hit enter, and something very revolutionary is going to happen. We now have a native PowerShell process running on top of a Linux Docker host. There are no Windows components installed here. This is entirely a Linux operating system. We've installed the Docker engine for Linux on that Linux virtual machine, and we're now running PowerShell inside of it. Now it gets even cooler. So we actually can get tab completion. So the PS Readline PowerShell module that was built into Windows 10 and released alongside Windows 10 is available in here. So we get syntax highlighting at the PowerShell console, and we also get tab completion. So one of the first PowerShell commands you're really going to want to get familiar with is called get command. And get command basically allows you to find other PowerShell commands that are available inside of your PowerShell session. So if we hit tab a couple of times here, you'll see that we get the tab completion. So we'll just go ahead and type get command, and it's going to list out all of the commands that are available inside of your PowerShell session. We can also run the get module command, and that's going to show you all of the modules that are currently loaded into your PowerShell session. Now, if you want to find out what PowerShell modules are available on the system, not just the ones that are loaded into the session, you can do get module-list-available. And that's going to show you all of the modules that are installed on the system here. Now, this kind of covers the scope of this video. I just wanted to get you kind of up and running with PowerShell on Docker on Linux. But at this point, you can go ahead and explore PowerShell yourself, get familiar with some of the other core PowerShell commands like get help, which was going to show you help for different commands. So we could do get help for the get command command, and that's going to print out the dynamic help for it. We can also do get help dash full to display the full help, including the examples, all of the parameter details, and so on. So go ahead, get out there, build your own custom image for Docker PowerShell, or PowerShell running on Docker, rather. and go around, play around with PowerShell. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to the PowerShell community, either on Twitter using the hashtag PowerShell, or go out to the Slack channel, which I believe is hosted on poshcode.org, but I'll have to dig up a URL for that. Again, my name is Trevor Sullivan. Thank you for watching this introduction to PowerShell Core running on Docker on Linux. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.